Well, I know we've got a limited amount of time, so I'll dive right in. So I understand you've been there. This is the fourth rotation. You've been there a few months already. I'm curious just how your time is divided on a day-to-day basis in this rotation with all the things that you're overseeing.
Ms. Seck, you briefly broke up a little bit. Can you say that again?
I'm sorry. I was hoping you could talk about how your time is divided on a day-to-day basis as CEO of the Special Purpose MAGTAF.
Certainly. To quickly add some context about our Special Purpose Marine Air Ground Task Force, the MAGTAF, as we call it, is the basic structure in which the Marine Corps organizes to conduct a variety of missions across a whole range of military operations. And here in our Special Purpose MAGTAF, we are focused principally in what I call four lines of operation. And it's in these lines of operation where I spend all my time. And these lines of operation, as I call them, include our crisis response and support to Operation Inherent Resolve. It's our regional contingency focus as a contingency crisis response force throughout the U.S. Central Command's area of responsibility. And we also conduct theater security cooperation, working with many of our partners throughout the region to either conduct bilateral training, to professionalize each other's forces, to share in common tactics, techniques, and procedures, as well as standing operating procedures. And then our fourth line of operation, which is also very important to me, is how we, as a very capable and cohesive task force, advance our own capabilities. So this is really the training lane, if you call it, conducting myriad types of training to advance our individual skill sets, as well as advance our collective capabilities as a regional task force.
So my understanding is this is the fourth iteration of the task force, and I think I've been able to speak or hear from each of the CEOs of the previous iteration. What's changed since you arrived on the ground?
Well, Ms. Seck, out here, as you probably know, it's certainly a very dynamic area of operations. When we first arrived here in April, the Iraqi security forces were conducting a variety of missions to regain lost terrain. And so what we have seen over time during our several months in theater is the real progression that not only the Iraqi security forces but all coalition forces have made in waging this campaign against Daesh. So I would say that that's probably all the many successes that the Iraqi security forces have enjoyed over the last several months, of course, closely supported by U.S. and coalition forces, is probably the singular takeaway that I've had over the last few months.
Obviously, the ground that has been regained, that's been widely reported. Can you cite any specific examples of improvements that you've seen the Iraqi security forces making in the way they operate? I mean, there's been a lot of skepticism about their ability just to do the job that's before them.
I understand that. Now, in our capacity as a Special Purpose Marine Air Ground Task Force, we are not specifically tasked to partner with the Iraqi security forces. However, we do provide a range of supporting efforts to them, most notably in our strike aircraft, that we conduct missions in support of the Iraqi ground maneuver efforts. So we have one of our TAC air squadrons conducting multiple sorties throughout the week to support the Iraqi ground maneuver. We provide intelligence support to them, target development support as well. And also, we've had the opportunity on several occasions to work with some of the Iraqi forces by providing some of our armor and mechanic specialists to assist them really with maintaining some of their equipment.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? The providing armor and mechanic specialists and how that took place?
Certainly. This is across our Marine Air Ground Task Force. We have many Marines who have very unique military occupational specialties. And one of those specialties, of course, is maintaining our various types of weapon systems, as well as maintaining our various types and models of vehicles that we had. And so we've had the opportunity on occasion to work with some of the Iraqi security forces in helping them to maintain some of their weapon systems, as well as to assist them in maintaining their vehicles. And that's just been a great partnered relationship that we've enjoyed since our arrival in theater last April.
So is that happening generally at Al Asad or Al Takadum or both bases?
You know, at Al Asad and at other bases, this MAGTAS, our principal responsibility is to provide security forces at both of those locations. Each one of those at Al Asad and at Al Takadum Air Base, our Marines from the Special Purpose MAGTAF primarily support in the security lane, if you will. But we also provide what we refer to as enablers. These enablers are individuals who work in different staff sections, such as intelligence or logistics. We provide engineering support on an episodic basis. And what that really does is by this MAGTAF supporting those other two task force, it enables them to better advise and assist and work more closely in training the Iraqi security forces.
Got it. I saw a DVIDS report from May about Marines at TQ providing EOD training kind of on an advise-assist basis to Iraqi troops. And I was curious if skills training was evolving at all, if different things were being taught or emphasized as kind of the campaign moves forward.
Ms. Seck, I'm sorry. You had said if something had improved or evolved?
If skills training was evolving at all as
the campaign
against Daesh moves forward.
Skills training.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Like any military force, the more often and the more frequently you train, naturally your own individual and team collective skills will continue to improve. And as I had mentioned earlier, one of our lines of operation in my own task force is to advance our forces' capabilities, both our individual skill sets as well as our collective skill sets. And that would apply to any military force. So when we have the opportunity to support our fellow Marines, either at Task Force or at Al Takadum Air Base or Al Asad Air Base, we will certainly do that, because what that truly enables them to do is to further enhance their own abilities to train with, advise, and assist the Iraqi security forces there.
So upcoming, General Votel told reporters, I think earlier this week, that he expects kind of the battle for Mosul and hopefully a reclamation to take place before the end of the year. How is preparation for a large Mosul offensive changing how you're operating on the ground, any part of the MAGTF?
I wouldn't say necessarily that it's changing. What we have seen over time since our arrival here this past April is we have been providing really just a steady amount of support across our various mission sets to both Operation Inherent Resolve as well as regional security and the theater security cooperation that we provide from with other partners throughout the region. As far as what we are doing specifically in support of Operation Inherent Resolve, we continue to provide a wealth of support with our tactical aircraft involved in sortie missions, as well as I mentioned earlier, the different types of intelligence support that we provide, targeting assistance, as well as some medical support that we send up to Al-Assad.
So would you say tempo for the unit has remained fairly steady since you arrived in April?
I would say once we arrived here in April and then were able to better assess the operational environment, we have not only stayed steadily busy, there's certainly been, we've been very active in all our different types of mission sets. I think we'd be hard-pressed to find any Marine in the task force to feel as if we've slowed any. It's through the constant, by that steady comment, it's really the steady application of effort within different mission sets. But those mission sets can range in frequency and activity. So, for example, 1 week we may be working on one target development product, so that mission set target development remains the same, but that frequency of target development may increase across the days and weeks. So whereas 1 week we might do two, the following week we may do five, six, or even more. But the idea of target development, that mission set has stayed the same, but within that mission set, the frequency varies from week to week, if that makes sense, Ms. Seth.
When you say target development product, what do you mean? I want to make sure I understand.
Well, we assist in the CFLCI as well as CJTF OIR in developing various targets in support of the Iraqi security forces ground maneuver. So anytime that we are asked, we're providing more of an intelligence surge support, if you will. We have a very robust intelligence capability here in the MAGTF. And what that enables us to do is my intelligence analysts are able to better assess targets in support of the Iraqis' ground maneuver. And once we develop that target, meaning we're identifying the target, we're looking for different types of patterns of analysis associated with that target, and then we submit that target through the combined Joint Forces Land Component Command's targeting process.
And that's intelligence that you get from the air primarily? What other assets are you employing?
We really get it through myriad types of methods, one of which is our air assets through different types of reconnaissance. And it's really a collaborative effort between our task force and other U.S. forces in support of OIR. It's our intelligence analysts sharing information between these two different or between multiple forces to try to mature targets.
So generally speaking, you develop the target, you present it to the leaders of the Iraqi forces, and do you monitor how the execution of the mission goes from there? Generally, how successful are they at eliminating the targets that you identify for them?
Well, I would say collectively, it's not just an Iraqi effort. We, of course, are in support of their maneuver, but it's really a partnered effort between all U.S. forces here in theater with the Iraqis. So that collaborative effort in identifying enemy targets goes both ways, quite frankly. And then once we are able to further refine a target and we understand all the different aspects of that target, we'll submit it through that target development process is what it's called. And now whether or not it is identified for a particular strike, that doesn't reside with this MAGTAF. Nonetheless, what we are providing is really a supporting effort to that larger target development process.
Regarding the Marine Corps ACE, do you happen to have statistics as far as how many airstrikes have been conducted since you arrived in April?
Well, what I can say is that that our TAC Air has been incredibly busy and incredibly active since our arrival in theater. We've conducted more than 1,500 sorties to date, and that number certainly will continue to increase over time. And our squadrons have been very successful in supporting the overall Operation Inherent Resolve effort.
What are the challenges to overcome for the ACE when it comes to taking on this mission set where, I guess, you know, strikes are just constantly ongoing and it's a pretty high operational tempo?
Certainly. Well, our tech here, both our pilots and our crews, very well trained. We conducted an extensive pre-deployment training package to prepare ourselves for the various mission sets that we would conduct over here. And what we have seen over time is our air crews have just continued to enhance their own proficiencies as both pilots and as air crews and as maintainers to ensure that that we have the requisite number of aircraft that are always combat ready to support missions for OIR.
Got it. I know that sometimes necessity is the mother of invention, or so it's said. Are there any discoveries or innovations being made regarding TAC Air or any part of the MAGTAF regarding how to carry out this mission in support of OIR?
We have some incredibly smart Marines across our task force. So specifically in that one line of operation and advancing our skill sets, our Marines are regularly coming up with innovative and creative means to increase our own proficiencies as Marines and as warfighters, whether it's in how we better refine our intelligence development or how we are better able to conduct our tactical recovery of aircraft and personnel. The acronym is called TRAP.
Right.
We very frequently will train throughout the week to improve our skill sets in these areas and in other areas, as well as our communicators. I have some incredible communicators across our shore-based MAGTAF that are always looking for ways to better conduct what we call digital interoperability, the means by which we communicate to our forces across this very expansive region. And it's been very impressive as the commander of this task force to watch this level of creativity and innovation in our Marines. Thank you for asking that.
Can you give any specific examples of improved TTPs that have been adopted as a result of this process?
Absolutely. It is, for example, in our crisis response operations center, the manner in which we communicate with many of our outlying areas has dramatically improved. And it's really a matter of better understanding the communications architecture out here. And once we have that understanding, looking at ways to better improve it, looking at ways to, instead of having just multiple means of communicating, it is what are the most efficient means by which we're able to communicate. So some of my comm operators have been able to advance some of our techniques so that how we communicate with our aircraft and how we communicate with our trap personnel over time has been fantastic. Other examples would be in our trap force. It is the time by which we have conducted so many rehearsals in varying degrees of complexity out here. It's really about gaining proficiencies as well as efficiencies. So whereas it would take a certain amount of time to load aircraft in support of a mission set, it's through the regular practicing and rehearsing of that particular mission that we've been able to improve that response time dramatically as we gain in more proficiencies and experiences with time. Not only time back in the U.S. when we were doing all of our pre-deployment training, but certainly once we're here in theater. And it's also the manner in which our Marines across this task force are just doing their daily job. I think it's a very natural experience for all of us in the performance of your duties to find ways to improve how you conduct that daily duty. And we are today certainly a more capable, a more advanced task force because of the amount of training that we do.
So the trap force, you said response time has improved dramatically. What was kind of the starting, I guess, how much has it improved, that kind of average response time?
Well, that response time is the manner in which we have a trap force that is always on alert, and it
right.
is as we conduct regular drills.
Uh-huh.
We're talking every minute is precious when conducting a tactical recovery of aircraft and personnel, and so it's over time as we continue to do these drills of ever increasing complexity. Just gaining minutes by which the Marines don all their equipment, minutes by which we are moving to the aircraft, the time it takes for us to board the aircraft, how the aircraft taxi down the runways, our communications with aircraft control personnel in aircraft towers, and how we launch together as a package. All of those efficiencies collectively, as you're gaining minutes in each one of those efforts, you put all that together, and over time, your ability to respond becomes that much quicker.
Can you give an average of about how many minutes have been trimmed off that response time?
Well, the drills that we do here, I would not like to give the exact number what we're doing, but what I can say is that it has dramatically improved over time here. And some of the other efficiencies that we look to do is when our Marines respond to a trap drill and we'll actually launch that force, we've gotten in the habit of forward posturing our trap force to enable them to respond more quickly in the event that that we are involved in some sort of trap activity.
Forward posturing, meaning you have aircraft in the air, kind of the N plus zero?
That's correct.
Is that what you're talking about?
I am.
Okay. So during this rotation the last couple of months, have Marines had occasion to execute any trap missions?
Well, what we have been able to do is forward posture our trap force several times throughout the duration of this deployment. And it's through that forward posturing many times that that further adds to those proficiencies of advancing our skill set.
Okay, but no actual trap mission where you had to retrieve any downed aircraft or personnel?
No, we have not had to retrieve any downed personnel or aircraft.
Okay. So I had an interview a couple months ago, and I learned that it's likely the next rotation of the special purpose MAG test will deploy with about half as many Ospreys, six instead of 12. How will that change operations? And is that something that the groundwork is being laid for now?
Well, what we're looking at now is I never like to discuss specific amounts of our combat power. What we're looking to do is with the equipment that we do have and the resources that we do have, how can we manage that equipment set and all those assets to continue to do the various missions that are tasked to us? And I don't foresee any future complications because of that.
Okay, great. So the of course, the task force kind of generally oversees the task forces at PQ and Al-Asad. About how many Iraqi troops are now being trained at on a monthly basis at those two bases?
Well, because this task force isn't specifically tasked to partner with the Iraqi security forces, I'm unable to give you any type of number.
Okay, all right. It's fine. I wanted to ask, I saw a story from April that was posted to DVIZ about CLR-15, I think it was the previous rotation, partnering with the Army to bring food and water to displaced Iraqis. And I was wondering if this is something that happens on a regular basis, if I guess this rotation has done any of those type of activities?
This rotation hasn't, and to my knowledge, the other rotations haven't engaged with displaced persons.
Well, I mean, it was reported, you know, by military personnel on DVIZ. So I'm not sure.
Hope I can get you in touch with the previous public affairs officer and get that sorted out offline.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Do Marines ever leave the confines of the two bases, PQ and Al-Asad, for any reason?
Well, my Marines that are there are probably there for security purposes. So we
right.
man the various, what we call, fighting positions, also synonymous with guard posts. So we're there to actually secure those two air bases, thereby enabling the other U.S. forces that are there to partner with the Iraqis and assist them with their training.
Now, I know the task force focus is on the Middle East, but I was wondering if the ACE or the TAC Air Element has had any support or involvement with the airstrikes that began in Libya a month ago.
No, not from this task force.
Okay. All right. Of course, back in March, about 200 Marines were sent from the 26th MEU to stand up what is now the Carasor counterfire complex. I understand that Army troops are manning that installation now. Are there any plans for Marines to rotate back into that fire base at any time in the future?
No plans that I'm currently aware of.
Okay. I know there's good coordination on the ground between special operations troops and the various elements in Central Command. General Miller has talked about the significance of and the importance of increasing interoperability. Are there specific ways that the Special Purpose MAGTF coordinates and practices interoperability with special operations to increase effectiveness?
Well, as our Commandant has mentioned many times, integrating soft elements with our Naval Expeditionary Forces is something that we clearly strive to do. And if and when those opportunities arrive, we would certainly take advantage of them within our capabilities as well as capacity.
Got it. Well, I want to be respectful of time. I know we're getting to the end, but what haven't I asked you about that that you think is important to highlight? What are the important stories that are coming out of this rotation of the Special Purpose MAGTF?
Hope, I think the real message is that this Special Purpose Marine Air Ground Task Force represents our Marine Corps' contribution not only to Operation Inherent Resolve, but also to regional security throughout the CENTCOM AO. This Special Purpose MAGTF spent several months back in the continental U.S. Training to conduct a variety of mission sets within its capability and capacity. And we are a shore base, what I often call an any-purpose MAGTF, ready to conduct our primary missions, whether that's a tactical recovery of aircraft personnel, as a regional crisis response force, or engaging with our myriad partners across the region. This is a very actively engaged MAGTF that continues to represent our Marine Corps and the United States very well.
Well, again, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And I do wish you the best as you finish out this rotation.
Ms. Sek, well, I appreciate your time. And as I frequently tell my Marines, no one tells our story better than us. And you help enable that. So thank you for your time.
I appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
You too.